Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat, the producer.
What's up?
Chris.
Hello.
And Steve.
Good day to you, sir.
Oh my goodness, VFN Radio. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. If you missed the first hour, you want to catch the first hour. We talked about the finality of death. You want to make the right choice before the final bell rings. We talked about the crops. The crops. Pray for the farmers. It's been delayed. Well, you're listening to VFN Radio, and right now in the extra hour, we want to talk about, I talked about a fitness program last week, Steve. I don't know if you heard about this fitness program.
I heard you talk about something. I don't know anything about no fitness.
Well, listen, I talked about a fitness program.
That wasn't part of it.
Listen, this is a fitness program.
There was no
program.
Fitness in whatever you were talking about.
If you missed it, you want to get the fitness program, I guarantee that you will not break a sweat while running around the block. You need to download this. You need to just share this with your friends. You need to get this, you know, on the iPad, on the iTunes, on the iPhone.
All.
Just listen. I guarantee it. But, you know, I saw this video. I seen this picture floating around Facebook, and I didn't know how real this picture was. But I saw this picture of an elderly woman who was a gymnast. And I said, man, come on now. 86 years old. 86 years old.
Wow.
I want you to listen to her interview. And we're going to make this video available for you on The Torch. But you got to listen to this. She set a Guinness World Record.
Der Aufenthalt hat mich überwältigt. Und ich bin glücklich, dass ich das geschafft habe. Und ich hätte nie gedacht, dass sowas auf mich zukommt.
I'm actually really overwhelmed and absolutely happy. I never thought that I would ever be able to do anything like this. So it's a really, really exhilarating experience.
Ich habe als Kind schon geturnt. Ich war sportlich tätig als Lehrer. Und ich habe seit 30 Jahren wieder angefangen, wettkampfmäßig zu turnen.
I've actually always been very sporty, even as a child. And then as I grew older, I became a PE teacher. And then about 30 years ago, I started actively competing in championships again.
Wow. Now you got to see this. She is on 86 years old.
Oh my goodness.
She's on a gymnastic bar.
That's the parallel bar.
A parallel bar, okay. I mean, both hands raised, swinging through with her legs. I mean.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
She's doing a headstand. Look at this. Look at that strength.
Oh my God.
She's completely parallel across.
I couldn't even do that.
No! 86.
Oh my God.
Is that amazing?
See?
Look at that. Look at that. Completely paralleled across the bars, holding herself up.
Dude, I got some work to do. Wow.
Amazing. Amazing. She is the Guinness World Record. Fantastic. Fantastic. I mean, you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, she's strong. She's 86 years old and she's swinging on a parallel bar.
Yeah.
Steve, what's your excuse?
I got some work to do.
You need to get on the fitness program.
I
need to get a different one.
Well, you need to get on the fitness program.
Correct. I need to get a fitness program.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's a start.
But there you go.
That's encouraging. 86 years old. I mean, Pat, I'm going to put this, you know, we're going to make this video available.
I got to start eating my Wheaties.
I don't know what she's doing, but I'll tell you what. Chris?
I need some of them chia seeds or something.
Man, she's got it going on. But it goes to show you that no matter how old you are, you really can train and get yourself in the right place.
Dude, tell me. Mm-hmm.
I mean, 30.
Me hope, man.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. This is psychologically in our mind, I think, just because we start to get older. We heard yesterday about the law of use. I mean, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
You lose it, yeah.
You don't, you know. And psychologically, I think what happens in our mind that we just think, oh, we're just getting older. We got little creaks and aches and pains. A lot of that stuff is because you're not even stretching. You know,
we're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, this society, because we work so much, and the kind of work that we do is totally different than what they did 100 years ago.
Oh,
we're sitting
goodness.
In our chairs behind a desk all day long.
Yeah.
When 100 years ago, they're out in the field plowing the fields.
That's right.
All day long, you know. They were strong.
That's right. Driving a car, sitting back, laying back, all kinds of comfort, plush leather seats, you know what I'm saying, all this type of, a lumbar for your back,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
everything that makes us more comfortable.
Exactly. And you're not doing things that are necessary. You're not getting up early, not lifting up stuff.
Yeah.
You're not stretching. I mean, just stretching alone.
That's the main reason why I started doing what I've been doing, just because I'm tired of my back hurting.
Yeah.
And everything else hurting and just creaking and cracking.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
And you can start with some simple stretches right there before you even get out of bed. And there's proper ways to do that so that you don't hurt yourself. But you don't want to fall into a psychological trap that says, oh, I'm just getting older, or start speaking those things out. I've had to stop. Oh. Stop! I'm not. Hey, stop saying that. I need to stop saying that because that's an excuse in your mind to go backwards instead of going forward. Right. And you don't have to rust out. You know what I mean? You don't have to tinker out.
And plus, stuff you say out of your mouth, you don't want to give second heaven any authority over your body whatsoever. It's hard enough as it is. You don't want to give it away.
Yeah,
your words are powerful.
They are.
You know what you say over yourself, especially if you know that you're quote unquote getting older. That doesn't mean anything.
No.
And it's just like you just have to make those choices.
Yeah, think about Moses. It says that to the very end of his life, and he lived to be 120, I believe.
Yeah. Wow.
They said he was strong and virile. I mean, there was no weakness in him.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, how about Caleb? You know, these guys were ready to keep going and take the land.
Yeah.
You know, they were ready in his 80s.
Yeah.
He said, I've got the same strength that I had when these guys messed up the first time, you know, ready to go in.
I mean, you think about Abraham and Sarah. It's just like, as far as like what the world saw them, it's just like her womb was barren. And it's just like what God said. It's just like we can be men and women of faith, regardless of what the quote unquote world sees or says. It's just like, no, but what does God say?
Yeah.
What does God's word say about me? What does God's word say? His word is true.
Yeah.
And it's just believing his words.
Yeah. Well, you talked about last week in the fitness program, you'll hear it, but I talked about even how my father-in-law, 68 years old, is doing the Spartan race on his belly, crawling in the dirt, in the mud, swinging on ropes. And, I mean, he is like PX90, whatever they call that thing. He is jumping and running, and, I mean, he competes with them. We put him all to shame. He goes, he's in the front. He's in the front.
Wow.
Not in the back. And it just goes to show you that just because you're getting older, you don't have to succumb to anything in your mind or, you know, anything that will hold you back. Listen, you want to keep going strong to the very end, not so that we can just do more stuff and play and now so you can go to the golf course.
Yeah.
No, so that you can burn strong for the Lord.
More
so
work
that you
in the
can,
kingdom.
Yes, more work in the kingdom. Lord, bless us all with strength. So that we can sow everything that we have into what you want to do, Lord.
That's right.
Well, we want to talk about, and CBN News is reporting this, which is fantastic, taking the gospel all over the world. And, you know, the only way for people to know about Jesus is if somebody goes and tells them.
Yeah.
And in particular, you know, there's Muslims all over the world. I think the number is 1 billion Muslims. Don't quote me on that number, but there is a large percentage of Muslims, a lot of them that come to the United States. And if we don't understand people, we can get so locked in a mindset that it has to be a certain way. We can prejudge folks because they look different than us. We can have our own ideologies and concepts of what people need to be. But let me tell you something. America is a melting pot of all different cultures, all different backgrounds and races and ethnicities. And if, as believers, if we want to reach someone, the best way for us to reach them, we need to care enough about them to know their culture, to know where they're from and what are their norms. You know what I mean? Because by knowing that, we'll be able to relate to them.
That's right.
But if we put up walls or kind of, you know, have let you know, TV give us a perception of other people, then that's going to ruin our opportunity to be a good witness. And so I want us to listen to this truth that's been unlocked. They've come up with a program or a way that we can begin to share the gospel with Muslims that are right here in the country. And it's really a phenomenal, phenomenal way. I want you to listen up. This is CBN News reporting. We're going to talk about this in a minute.
For most Americans, Islam remains somewhat of a mystery. And it's a religion they don't know much about. Well, there's a new DVD series that teaches people about Islam, and it's being done with the help of former Muslims. Gary Lane has that story.
Most Muslim immigrants come to North America for educational and economic opportunities. Others come to escape oppression. On a rare occasion, some, like the Tsarnaev brothers, harm the nation that has welcomed them. Wajdi Iskander is a former Muslim from Sudan.
Suddenly, when they come here, they change. They change to be fanatic.
Government can only do so much to protect us from Islamic fanaticism. So how should we respond beyond praying for our nation? A new Christian DVD teaching series called Truth Unlocked provides spiritual and educational responses.
I think it's going to help our nations, our countries, to be well-equipped to deal with terrorism and to also deal with the people here that we need to take care of, the Muslim people that God brought here for us to give them the gospel right here.
The Truth Unlocked DVD series provides an understanding of Islamic religious beliefs. Tim Clemens is co-producer of Truth Unlocked.
This came about with just our kids interacting with other Muslim kids within their school, and I felt very ill-equipped and ignorant towards another culture that had moved in.
El Hayat Women's talk show host Amani Mostafa appears on the Truth Unlocked DVD. She is a former Muslim who says Westerners should understand Islamic culture before establishing a relationship with a Muslim.
A man and his wife are welcoming a couple into their home, and the man of the house would extend the hand to shake the hand of the wife. Instantly, she's offended because she's veiled and she's not supposed to be shaking a man's hand. Right there, he broke a rule. So it takes a while for us to correct these things.
Terror attacks like the Boston Marathon bombing may cause people to shy away from pursuing a relationship with Muslims. Mostafa says Christians shouldn't fear sharing their faith because Muslims hunger for closeness to God.
When a Christian person come and present to me the God that he loves and worships and live with, that is an eye-opener and a heart-opener to many of us. And we see today that when Muslims are offered the freedom to choose Christ, they do, by the millions.
And Christians don't have to read the Quran before witnessing to Muslims.
I think it's a lot more important for them to understand what the gospel say, how to relate the gospel to them, to the Muslims.
Mostafa says Christians should tell the truth.
Ask him about what is that God, that who is that God you're worshiping, and tell them the truth. We don't worship the same God, and let me tell you why.
A follow-up DVD called Far From Home, A Different West will be available in the near future. Most evangelism tools are created and presented by Western Christians. This one is done by former Muslims who now follow Jesus.
The Christian, they explain it in a Christian mindset, but now you have kind of a convert, a believer in Christ from the same background, who understand exactly what they're going through because we went through it.
One that addresses Muslim misconceptions and questions about Christianity.
It's my neighbor, it's my co-worker, it's my child's schoolmate. They're individuals who need Christ as much as anybody else, as much as I needed Christ.
A revelation replacing acts like this with more of this. Gary Lane, CBN News.
That's powerful because you know what? This is how Muslims could be one. You know, I love what she says on this interview from CBN. She just comes out and says, listen, you don't have to know the Quran. Yeah. You don't have to know. Know the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, people want to know about a genuine experience with God. Don't be afraid to share your story with Muslims because she says that they want to know about God. They want to know.
They're hungry for his love.
Yeah.
They're hungry for his love. We found that out with Zamzam's testimony.
Yeah.
And it's so encouraging, not only just with Muslims, but with anyone that you come across. Listen, you want to share your own personal encounter with Jesus Christ. You want to share what God has done personally for you and how he saved you. Listen, that is so compelling and so powerful. It's a miracle. But you want to know the truth.
What's so powerful about it, too, is just like any religion, whether it be Islam or Buddhism or anything, it's just like they're doing all these things. It's just like I'm trying to get in touch with a God that I have need to connect with. I'm trying to do these things. And when you just are in your humility and relationship of just like, God sent me here, and they're and automatically you're getting their attention of just like, wait a second, God speaks to you, you hear God, and when you're able to bring in that reality of just like, we can talk about God all day long, but I talk to Jesus Christ. Jesus is with me. He speaks to me. He loves me. He loves you.
Yeah.
And when you're able to bridge that and connect them, it's just like, no, he loves you so much that he would send me to you to tell you about him.
Yeah.
And it's just like that itself is a powerful encounter.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the ways to do that, too, is always to do that in humility.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like someone that comes up to you that tries to share Jesus in their pride and their arrogance. You know, we want to share God in humility.
Yeah.
We want to respect other people and their cultures. We don't want to offend people. And sometimes, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way, you know. And sometimes if you're more interested in proving a right point than you are in sharing and you know, sharing the truth in love, you're going to offend them and close them off. You're going to, whether it be Muslim or anyone else, the whole idea is not just to share the truth, but to share the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love, it's all about love and not winning an argument. This is not about an argument. This is not about, it's about helping people to connect with the one true God and sharing Jesus Christ with them and being patient and love. So this is a wonderful one. We highly recommend this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make sure this is available for you on the Torch, but you want to make sure that you're getting plugged in, you know, cultural. This country in particular, West, is such a huge a melting pot, and God's called us, right, to the nations.
Yeah.
And we can reach the nations just by reaching our neighbor who's different from us.
Yeah.
You know, the Indians and just, I mean, you just keep listing all the different countries that are, you know, people represent in our own neighborhood, in our own city.
Yeah.
What would happen if those folks were to go back to their countries, right, and begin to evangelize and share the gospel? I mean, how beautiful that be. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get stuck in American mindset, which is not gospel, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's American.
Yeah,
it's not gospel. Then we'll bring American concepts and ideas, and that won't work. Listen, they don't need America. What they need is Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that's right.
Leave America out of it. Walk in humility. Share the love of God. Share your story, and seek to understand first, then to be understood.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com.
Dad, you've got a special role in your daughter's life. With Focus on the Family Minute, this is John Fuller. Dr. Kevin Lehman shares how you can communicate your love to your daughter in a way that she feels it.
He affirms her femininity, number one. He affirms the fact that she's a little girl, you know, and he takes time to listen to her. Now, women use 2.5, 3.5 times the number of words that we men use in a given day or week. With women, you got to be patient. You have to listen. They have a need to talk, to share, Most men aren't real big on that. Most men thrive on arm's length relationships. But the last thing your daughter needs from you, gentlemen, is an arm's length relationship.
It may be uncomfortable. Okay, it will be uncomfortable. But you can connect with your little girl, and it'll be worth the effort. Learn more about that daddy-daughter relationship from Dr. Lehman today on FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat, Chris, and Steve. We're talking about taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're talking about sharing the love of God with Muslims and anybody and everybody who will hear.
Amen.
The love of God. Amen. But we need to do that with humility,
yeah,
speaking the truth in love, and being humble,
yeah,
and caring enough about others and their culture to share with them, right? Not kind of moving in arrogance, but...
Yeah. Makes me think about Kim, the lady you met that was from South Korea.
Amy.
Oh, Amy, that's right.
Amy Kim.
Amy Kim,
mm-hmm,
who had just gotten saved, right, the,
yeah,
day before y'all met her?
Yeah.
What happened there?
We met her out in New York, close to Central Park, and just one of those divine appointments by God. She's standing right in front of us in this long line to this burger place, Shake Shack.
Yeah, you and burgers.
Oh, my goodness. Anyhow, Teresa's, my wife starts a conversation up with her, and before you know it, she had just given her life to the Lord. Wow. A day or two, I think it was a day ago, prior to us meeting her. She said, I saw the Bible on her iPhone, so I asked her, are you a Christian? She goes, I just gave my life to God. And long story short, we decided to have lunch. You know, we picked up her meal, and we just sat there for over an hour and a half, and could have been even longer. And we just talked about God and talked about what was going on, and it's just amazing. All of that culminated in the very next day, her joining with us in fellowship and meeting the rest of the family of God. And what an amazing, amazing encounter. Yeah. A few weeks after that, she was back in Korea, and we're still connecting with her over Facebook. She listens to VFN Radio all the time.
Oh, wow.
And how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
How beautiful is that? I mean, we have these opportunities all around us. Mm-hmm. We just gotta get out of our comfort zone and say, listen.
Yeah.
You know?
Pay attention to those around that thing.
Pay attention.
Yeah. What if you weren't paying attention to that line? You were just, you know, too busy.
Well, I give my wife the credit on that one, because
I
was thinking of the burger right there at the beginning, to be honest with you. But she's the one that stepped out, and that's great, you know, and we need to continue to do that. You're standing in line, and you don't want to just think about yourself all the time. Just love on people. Do good. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. You never, ever know what people are going through. And most people today, most people are just thinking about themselves, narcissistic, self-focused, and they don't give no thought to anyone else. But I'll tell you, if you really start thinking about people, you're going to start thinking about the things that are closest to God's heart. God cares about every single person, and his heart melts. I mean, if you're a parent and you see one of your children reaching out to each other and loving on them, you're like, oh, thank you. I love when they're loving on each other. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how the father feels when he sees you stepping outside of your world and all your things that you got to think about and stuff that you got to do? Listen, life is always going to be busy to the day you die, okay? I mean, you're always going to have stuff to do. But it's okay to put down your agenda, your things, and get that off of your mind so that you can think about what's on God's mind, and that's other people.
You know, thinking about that as far as just like putting other people first in those situations when it's least convenient. I remember you were telling me, I think you were on campus maybe, maybe in college and other, but like God had led you to go stand over here and talk to somebody, and you were talking to a guy, and he was running away from something, and you were able to just give him a ride back to where he needed to go and just encourage him, but it was all because you were just obeying God to say, just go help him out or just go talk to him.
Yeah. It just those little things, just being able to hear God and stepping out.
Yeah.
And if you're uncomfortable doing that, because some people are just not talkers and they're not comfortable speaking to folks or strangers, just start saying hello to people. Just start saying hi to people when you pass them, when you get your gas, when you're in your store, when you're in shopping, you're doing the things that you do, you're seeing your neighbors. Just start saying hello and ask them, how are you? You know?
Yeah.
And let a conversation, but trust in God. Step on out and see what the Lord will do. But I'll tell you, the time is short, and we want to take as many, many people with us as possible. And the truth is that the average believer doesn't even lead one person to the Lord in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Listen, we need to stop that crazy cycle. We need to stop. You want to go to heaven. You want to bring people with you.
Yeah.
You want to bring them with you. You don't want to see that all those millions and millions of people, and it's like, I didn't bring any in here. No, you want to have a long list of folks, at least one, right? At least one.
You think about the perspective of it. Anytime you take your family to go out to dinner or you have a nice recipe, you tell everybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
You go to, you know, there's a sports event on and there's a goal or there's a call. You tell everybody about it. There's that conversation. It's just like if you encounter Jesus Christ and he has changed your life, who are you telling?
Yeah.
Who are you telling about? Like, no, you have to meet him. Let me tell you about him, because... Mm-hmm. If not, is a TV show more important than Jesus? Is, a dinner at a local restaurant more important than Jesus? Because if it's not, tell him.
Yeah.
Because he's so worth it.
And don't let fear hold you back. A lot of times people are controlled by fear. And what will people think? It's like, what will people think? This is eternity right now. What will people think? Don't let fear get in your heart and in your mind and just take over. step out, say hello. Mm-hmm. God has a plan for your life. Love you, man. You know what I mean? And ask the, and if whenever the opportunity presents itself, you can always ask somebody if you could pray for them. I'll tell you, it very rarely the people turn prayer down. They're really open to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of opens an opportunity where they can encounter God, experience God, and now they're healed or God answers a prayer. And now you can say, can I tell you about the God who answered your prayer? Can I tell you about the God who healed you? Can I tell you about the God who showed up in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. So that's called a show and tell.
Yeah.
God shows up and then you can tell, right?
That's right.
Steve, talk to us. I know that you're just being blessed as you're spending time with the Lord and God just showing you some things about unconditional love and offense. And
amen. Yeah, I've just been...
doors being closed and all that type of stuff. That's
God is definitely just revealing to me my own heart. And I've been just been reading through The Bait of Satan. And it's a book by John Bevere. And
oh,
it just talks about offense. And if this is one of those continual revelations that just humbles you because just God is good. And the amazing thing is, though, it's just like as I've been reading this book and just seeking God's face and going through scripture, and it's just like the scariest moments to me in my life is when God brings me face to face of what's in my own heart.
Mm.
But it's in those moments when God just shows his love that much more.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And the last week and a half, this two sentences have just I can't get past it. And he says, if we do not risk being hurt, we cannot give unconditional love.
Mm.
Unconditional love gives others the right to hurt us.
Mm.
And I just sit on that, and God has just taken me through. And I feel like so much of my life has like one encounter of allowing people to offend me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like we can either love ourselves or we can love others.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when we decide to love other people that's when we're loving Jesus the most, because we just have to trust God.
Yeah.
And what God has been making known to me, and it's just like that's that choice of, are we going to be offended? Because if we're going to allow to be offended, then that's when we're allowing the devil to pretty much take control, or we're just going to choose to follow Jesus.
Right.
And it's just, and it's that love that's so powerful, because so often or not to me, something that was real powerful, it's just like so often when we see other people's lives or what they're going through, we can quickly look at the word and just say, well, what does God say about that? And look at their situation. But the true power in that moment is when we flip it around and we apply God's word to our situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that power just begins to unfold in our own lives, because it's just like, it's that prideful moment of pointing that finger. You know, when Jesus says, I have a plank in my own eye, that if I'm so focused on the speck in yours, I can't, you know, I have to focus on myself first.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, we have to apply God's word to ourselves before we can go around and say, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, because that's just religious.
Isn't that important? I mean, how many times have people just like take the word of God instead of applying it to themselves? It's like, oh. You don't want to read the Bible in the morning.
Yeah, right.
You don't want to read the Bible in the morning.
That reminds me about so-and-so. I need to go talk to them.
Yeah. For a message for somebody else. It's about what's God saying. Here's a good question. God, what are you saying to me about me today in your word?
And that's exactly what God did. Because when I was reading through this, and it was just painting the picture to the T of an encounter I had with somebody. I was like, God, somebody, this person needs to hear this. This person needs to hear this. So I write down, I'm in my body time, and I'm like, God, what are you saying to me? And God just flipped it. And that's where it starts.
Yeah.
If we begin to apply the word of God to ourselves, to our own shortcomings, and take it to the cross and realize, God, I need your help. I need your grace to make that choice to love. But not only love, because the world teaches us to love a conditional way, but Jesus' way of unconditional, regardless, no expectations, regardless of what they do, how they respond, what they do or they don't do, I'm going to love you the way Jesus calls me to love you.
Yeah. Sounds like love with no strings attached.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I mean, it's not love, and I'm not doing anything for you, and you owe me something. You know what I mean? If someone's doing something for you, they're loving on you, quote unquote, and there's an expectation behind that quote-unquote mm-hmm. love, that's probably not love. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing something so that I can get something. But unconditional love is that we just kind of give it. We just give it and don't expect anything in return. Mm-hmm. And what messes us up often is when we're trying to measure what we need to get back based upon what we give. And, right. and God doesn't do that. He loves us unconditionally. He gives unconditionally. He doesn't say, I'm going to do this for you, but you better do this.
Yeah.
He just loves. And there's something about self-preservation in our lives that we just got to get out of our life where it says, I'm going to do this, but you better do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's okay to be wrong. It's okay just to be a giver. It's okay to say, I'm going to love 100%. Mm-hmm. And especially you hear this in marriage. This is false counsel, by the way. I mean, you've heard it said a million times that marriage is 50-50. Can I tell you today that is one big, fat, giant lie? Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100% zero. Yep, 100% zero. You know what that means? You give 100% and you expect nothing. The problem is that so many people have these expectations, spoken expectations, even written expectations. I do this and I do that and you better do this for me and you better do that for me and all this type of stuff. Let me tell you something. That stuff's not going to go. That doesn't go far.
Well, you're just setting yourself up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just setting yourself up. If you're expecting something, you say, well, I'm only going to go this far.
Yeah.
And I better get something back.
Yeah.
It's over.
You're only given. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's why offense happens all the time. Yeah. Offense happens because of these expectations. Offense happens because we put an expectation on what we're going to get as a result of all this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why in a marriage or any type of relationship, you want to be one that gives 100% and you expect nothing so that if you get 10%, you are happy and thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn. You choose that by giving, that's where your joy is. Yeah. Your joy is not in receiving, but you determine that, you know what, God, I'm going to be happy being a giver.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's love, whether that's patience, whatever that is, I'm going to give. And then the other person, if they're a believer, my goodness, they want to take that same mindset and say, I'm going to give 100% and expect nothing. Mm-hmm. But that's the greatest offense. People think that they have a right.
Yeah.
They have a right.
Well, and I think back about what Pat was just saying a moment ago, and it's just like if I'm setting a standard, and I say I expect you to do this, right there, it's just like we're giving the devil a foothold because that's where we give a whole playground for the devil to just have his way. Because as soon as that person doesn't meet that expectation,
you're offended, and then I'm divided.
I'm starting to focus on myself and what you did wrong, and then that chasm has now just been created, just causing further separation. It's just like, anytime we have an expectation set, we're just in the wrong.
Right.
And it's just like because we're focusing on our own expectations. It's just like, what are Jesus' expectations?
That's why most marriages fail, because that's the mindset.
Yeah.
They're always expecting something.
And
when that doesn't happen, well,
yeah,
I just don't love him anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not in love anymore.
That's right. Well, and the thing is that the people, you know, are this is, again, self-preservation, where I'm not a doormat. You can't walk all over me. It's like, if Jesus had that type of mentality, if Jesus, listen, none of us would be here right now. You know what I mean? And we're not talking about somebody abusing you. We're not talking about someone hurting you. We're talking about being in a place where you can be so at peace with God and you can enjoy the fact that you can lay everything down and be 100% for the Lord and be and offer unconditional love, which means this love I give you has no strings. It's not condition-based, which means I do this and you do that. Freely I receive, freely I give. I love you.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Neither one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. They just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Well, I'll tell you what, it is great. It is great to be in the Emerald Coast. My goodness, I didn't know how beautiful this sun is out here, Chris. Yeah. I mean, you've been enjoying this all this time? Oh, my goodness, Pat.
Yeah, I love it. I got a chance to soak in a little bit the other day.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I got to see that bronze look on you. I don't know about that.
Now, you got some bronze going on over there.
I'm looking at you here, brother. I'm happy to report that I don't see any Saints shirts. I don't see nothing this morning. And I want to just give a hallelujah for that, okay? I just want to let you know. But you got the tan working for you. I'm telling you, it's nothing like beautiful blue skies, mm-hmm. palm trees. I'm just like, oh, nothing my like goodness. It. This is beautiful. I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying being in the Emerald Coast. You know, I knew that I was getting near to Pat's home. I'm coming in 11 o'clock at night, and I knew I was getting close when couldn't see nothing. Now it was pitch black, but couldn't see nothing. But I was getting this whiff, this aroma that was coming from the plane.
Hold on now. Clarify that.
That paper mill, I don't know what's going on, man, but I knew I was dead on the spot. I mean, X marks the spot.
Dude, you didn't know that was the glory of God coming
That's
down.
Not the glory.
That's the glory, oh, man. That's the glory cloud.
Don't put that smell on the glory, all right? Don't put that smell on the glory. But, my goodness, it is so, so, so good. Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining with me today is Pat, Chris, and Steve. We're just talking about unconditional love. No 50-50 here. Mm-hmm. 100%. Okay. To zero.
What's that?
You give 100% and you expect nothing back. And let me tell you, that's going to be good for you and your relationship with mm-hmm. God. And it's going to be good with your relationship with others. Because that's going to stop all that offense. and you're going to be at peace with God, you're going to be at peace with man, and you're going to be good. Mm. But there's nothing like an offended person, because an offended person is a frustrated person.
All the time.
All the time. Upset with others, and it's the expectation that people owe me, and they didn't do this, and they didn't do that. And let me tell you, that gets so old. Mm. And the person that oftentimes is greatly offended is also used at the same time to greatly offend others. And it's a whirlwind, a pig pen, if you will, of offense that just keeps swirling and swirling and swirling around. And you got to get off of that crazy cycle, get out of that cloud. Get low. That it seems like that cloud is always up high. Get low before the Lord. Get below that cloud of offense, and 100% zero, 100% to zero, and you'll be where you need to be. And you'll see that there's a tremendous blessing and a tremendous peace.
Freedom.
In that place. Yeah.
You know, somebody once said to me, hurt people, hurt people. And that's the truth. You know, if you allow yourself to get hurt, focusing on, a lot, getting offended, you're going to hurt people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but, we've been talking about Israel for quite a while. I know you knew that. And praying for Israel. And encouraging others, encouraging those that listen to VFN Radio mm-hmm. to pray, to stand watch, to mm-hmm. seek the Lord, and pray for the protection of Israel. But you know that, and pray that our government officials, move in favor towards Israel. Yeah. It's really interesting that Charisma News just put out an article called Judeo-Christian Values Forge Israeli-U.S. Ties. And they talk about the special ties between the United States and Israel, and they state that it's uniquely driven by a people-to-people, bottom-up relationship shaped by the American public more than by the American government.
Wow.
U.S. ties with the Jewish state have been exceptionally forged by the shared Judeo-Christian values. Listen, those in America, Americans, are not tight with Israel because of this awesome, governmental policy and diplomatic type. No, we are close because we share the same Judeo-Christian values. And as for Christians, we love the apple of God's eye. Our mm-hmm. our Bible is our Old Testament
it's all
is
written by the
yeah, hello.
Every bit of it.
Every bit of it. We love them. And this article goes on to say that Americans' sympathy for Israel is at a high watermark. Listen to this. It's at a high watermark. And this is an answer to so much prayer, because when Israel is surrounded by enemies all around them, in the Middle East, we certainly don't want enemies, homegrown enemies, pointing fingers there at Israel. And, there's always some. But right now there is a tremendous high watermark, according to Gallup poll, March 15, 2013, this is what their poll says, that there has been a steady increase in relative support for Israel over the past decade.
Wow.
Americans sympathize. They lean heavily toward the Israelis, okay? And today, 64% compared to 12%, I misread that, 64%. Mm-hmm. And these ties are based upon the Gallup poll, and it hasn't been this high since 1991 during the Gulf War. Oh. So this is really amazing. They talk about even the ties in Congress. They say that these unique ties go even way before the founding of Israel, which happened in 1948 as a nation,
mm-hmm.
and even goes well beyond our president, Harry Truman, at the time, who did really an awesome thing, that within 11 minutes of Ben-Gurion giving his speech at 4 o'clock in Israel, declaring that Israel was a Jewish state, 11 minutes later, Harry Truman, with the full backing of the United States, the country, confirmed and received Israel as a nation and mm-hmm. recognized them publicly. And we were the superpower mm-hmm. in the world at that time, which really, but our bond is even way before that. And it's really amazing to see that, especially now that the poll continues to say that 92, which, listen to this, 92 92% of Americans believe in God. Most polls find that 80% believe in Judeo-Christian values constitute the foundation of American culture. I'm going to read that again. 80% believe Judeo-Christian values constitute the foundations of American culture.
Wow.
In October 2011, the U.S. House of Representatives voted 396-9 to reaffirm "In God We Trust" as a national motto.
That was Praise God. It was
President Eisenhower who signed that back July 30th, 1956, according to this article. But let me tell you, something's happening here. Mm-hmm. Something is happening, and it's really, really powerful. This is we're gonna have this relayed on the torch, but it's gonna be connected there so you can see it. But the seeds, they go on to say that the seeds of the Judeo-Christian U.S. were planted in 1382 when John Wycliffe, an Oxford professor, produced the first English language Bible, making it available to the public at large. Wycliffe's groundbreaking initiative inspired the Puritan movement, from which came the earlier 17th pilgrims who landed in America. 17th century pilgrims that landed in America, and they came over in the Mayflower and all this type of stuff, and they came to seek, you know, a place where they can pursue God. But we found out that when Ferdinand, the king of Spain, was trying to expel the Jews and get rid of them in 1492, and because they wouldn't convert to Catholicism, go figure, that the Jewish people actually gave money to this explorer, Christopher Columbus, to go find the land for them to actually worship.
Yeah.
So our history goes way, way, way back. I didn't know this, but they said that George Washington and John Adams were referred to as Moses and Joshua.
Really?
And the founding fathers considered themselves to be the people of the modern-day covenant. It's pretty amazing. And when you look, when you go to the House chamber on Capitol Hill and the U.S. Supreme Court, there are monuments of Moses' tablets. Isn't this?
Wow.
In the chamber on Capitol Hill and the U.S. Supreme Court, the monuments of Moses' tablets are there. And so much of Judeo and Christian values are so interwoven between both of these countries. Hopefully I'll share a little bit about Chaim Soloman. If you look at the back of a dollar bill, and one day we can talk more in depth about this, but there's two circles, two emblems. The one on the left has a pyramid with the all-seeing eye, and the one on the right kind of looks like the U.S. presidential seal. Above the eagle, you're going to see I think it's 12 stars, but you'll see stars in the shape of the Star of David. And Chaim Soloman was a Jewish businessman who had basically a lot of wealth. I guess had an anointing for wealth, and he was able to bless George Washington. This is really a remarkable story. We want to talk about this in more depth when we have more time on VFN Radio. But it is a phenomenal, phenomenal story where, I mean, George Washington needed funds really, really bad. I mean, it was coming down several times for George Washington. We talked about him on the torch. Let me tell you, this guy was an amazing, amazing American hero. I understand why he was the first president. I understand why he is greatly respected. I mean, we were blessed with this general. But anyhow, he needed the funds. He needed the funds for the army. And according to Chaim, I'm looking for this for you, Chaim basically gave George Washington the finances and the resources he needed for the army to continue to fight.
Yeah.
Those last finances, as history goes, those last finances actually helped push the tide over and cause him to have the victory. But the only thing that Chaim requested is that you remember the Jewish people. You remember us.
Yeah.
And somehow it came about that Star of David was on the back of the U.S. dollar bill.
How about that?
I never knew that before.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what happened. And it just goes to show you how much God is in control of everything. It really goes to show you how much God is in control of everything. And all we need to do is stay in tune with what God's doing.
Abiding. Just simply paying attention to him. Ask him, God, what are you saying about this?
Mm-hmm. Listen,
what are you doing?
Exactly right. Yeah. We need to abide. And especially when it comes to Israel, we've got to realize, listen, this dates way, 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 way long. It's not a new thing. Mm-hmm. We're not close to Israel because of some kind of, you know, political alliance or our diplomats are talking. Listen, we are close to Israel. We have 10 commandments in many courts today. We are close to Israel because we have shared Judeo-Christian values. And I got to share this with you. You would be surprised at the amount of cities that have biblical names in this country. I mean, this would really, really blow you away, and I want to get this for you. But there's so many cities named Bethlehem, Bethel, Zion, Shiloh. I mean, all these biblical names around this country.
Corinth.
Yep. I mean, so many. And here it is. 18 towns are called Jerusalem. 18 towns in the United States. 32 are called Salem. 18 are called Hebron. 24 are called Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
61 are called Shiloh. 7 are called Bethlehem. 14 cities in America are called Canaan, 9 Carmel, 38 Goshen, okay?
Wow.
4 are called Rehoboth, and 6 are called Mount Zion. Come on now.
How about that?
Come on, this is all across the United States. We will stand with Israel forever, Lord willing.
Amen.
Forever, as long as we continue to pray for the apple of God's eye. I'm glad to know, and I'm glad to that we're seeing the answer of prayers, the fulfillment.
Amen.
That right now there's such a high watermark for Israel. Let me tell you, don't waver. Don't let that watermark go down. Let's continue to pray, because that's going to be tested in the coming days. That approval, that support, that love is going to be tested. And that's when we know how deep our love is. Will you stand firm for Israel?
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.